Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily, everyone. Today, we're talking about speed. Not the kind that gets you a speeding ticket, but the kind that makes your head spin in the cyber world. We've got three stories that really highlight how quickly things can go sideways in the digital realm. We'll cover exposed APIs being probed before you can even finish your coffee, water facilities feeling the heat from digital attacks, and a ransomware group taking aim at your personal data through a major consulting firm.
Sounds scary.
So let's jump right into our first story. Picture this. You're a developer. You've just poured your heart and soul into this amazing new API. Hit that deploy button. And before you can even blink, someone's already knocking, trying to break in.
Oh, wow.
Talk about a rude awakening. I mean, less than 30 seconds. That's insane.
It is incredibly fast. And it highlights just how vigilant we need to be in today's threat landscape.
Okay, but before we get too deep into the weeds, maybe we should take a step back. For those who might not be familiar, could you break down what an API is and why they've become such a hot target for attackers?
Sure. Think of an API, or application programming interface, as a sort of digital messenger. It allows different software applications to communicate with each other.
All right.
Like when you order food online, the restaurant's app uses an API to talk to the delivery services app, ensuring your pad thai arrives at your doorstep.
Got it. So it's all about seamless communication between different software.
Right.
But why are APIs so valuable to attackers?
Because they act as gateways to potentially sensitive data and systems. For developers, APIs are crucial for building all sorts of integrations and functionalities. But for attackers, a vulnerable API is like a backdoor, potentially allowing them to access sensitive information or even hijack the entire application.
And that's exactly what's making headlines, right? There was a study where researchers essentially set up a bunch of dummy APIs and just watched how quickly the attackers swarmed in.
That's right. They deployed these APIs written in the Golang programming language across 14 global locations, leaving them open on all ports. And what they found was pretty alarming. On average, it took less than 29 seconds for an attacker to start probing those APIs.
Wow.
And here's the kicker. It wasn't just your typical run-of-the-mill web attacks. Almost half of the attacks, 48% to be exact, used code specifically designed to exploit APIs.
So it's not just random bots stumbling around. These are targeted attacks.
Exactly.
Did the study shed any light on what they were after? Any specific ports that seemed to be particularly popular targets?
Well, as you might expect, a lot of the attacks focused on common ports like 80, 443, and 8080. Which are typically used for web traffic.
Right.
But one that really stood out was port 7547.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one. What's the significance?
This port was heavily exploited back in 2016 by the Mirai botnet, which was this massive IoT botnet that caused widespread disruption across the internet. It targeted devices using a specific command protocol primarily found on routers. And you'd think that vulnerability would be long gone.
Yeah.
But it seems older devices using this port are still out there, vulnerable and ripe for exploitation.
So it's like a ghost from the past coming back to haunt us.
Yeah.
That's unnerving.
Did the study mention any specific targets within these APIs, like certain software they were trying to compromise?
Yes. Some of the most frequently targeted endpoints included Docker, a popular platform for building and running applications, Unify, a network management system, and Apache Hadoop, a framework for big data processing and storage. Imagine the chaos if an attacker successfully exploited vulnerabilities in these systems.
Yeah.
They could potentially take control of servers, steal sensitive data, disrupt critical services. The fallout could be massive. It really paints a stark picture of how vulnerable we are and how quickly things can go wrong. This is definitely a wake-up call for developers to prioritize API security.
Absolutely. The issue is that many developers prioritize the functionality of their APIs, ensuring they work seamlessly, but they often neglect the security aspects.
Right.
And unfortunately, attackers are well aware of this oversight and actively hunt for these weaknesses.
So it's like building a beautiful house with state-of-the-art everything but forgetting to install locks on the doors.
Exactly. It's a recipe for disaster.
Okay, that's enough to make anyone think twice about their online security. But let's shift gears for a moment and move on to our next story. We're going from the digital world of APIs to something even more vital. Clean water. And you might be surprised to learn just how vulnerable our water systems are to these kinds of cyber attacks.
You know, when you turn on the tap and expect clean water to flow?
Yeah.
You probably don't think about the complex systems working behind the scenes.
I'll admit, I sort of take it for granted. Magically appears.
Well, it's not magic, but there is a lot of technology involved, including these things called HMIs, or human-machine interfaces.
HMIs, those sound familiar.
They're essentially the control panels that allow operators to monitor and control the equipment in water treatment plants. Think SCADA systems and PLCs,
right?
Those industrial control systems that are increasingly becoming targets of cyber attacks.
Right. We've been hearing more and more about those, and I'm guessing this is where the concern comes in.
Exactly. The EPA and CISA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, respectively, have issued a rather urgent warning to water facilities about the security of their HMIs.
What's got them so worried? Is it just the theoretical possibility of an attack? Or are there real-world examples of this happening?
Unfortunately, it's not just theoretical. They've actually observed pro-Russia hacktivist groups manipulating HMIs in real-world attacks.
That's disturbing. What kind of damage can they inflict? Are we talking about just tweaking some settings, or can they cause more serious problems?
It can get very serious. They've been able to disrupt water pumps and blowers, forcing them to operate outside their normal parameters, essentially pushing them to their limits. And in some cases, they've even managed to disable alarm systems and change administrative passwords, effectively locking out the legitimate operators.
So they're not just causing minor disruptions, they're potentially creating dangerous situations.
Right. And when these attacks occur, water facilities are often forced to switch to manual operations, which is not only time-consuming and inefficient, but could also lead to water quality issues.
That's a scary thought. So what can be done to protect these systems? Is it as simple as disconnecting them from the internet?
Ideally, safety-critical systems like these should never be directly connected to the internet, but that's not always feasible.
Right.
So if they are connected, they need to be properly secured.
I imagine that's easier said than done,
yeah.
Especially with older systems that weren't designed with cybersecurity in mind.
It's a real challenge. Patching these systems is difficult because they need to operate continuously. Taking them offline for updates isn't always an option. And then there's the issue of default credentials, which are often left unchanged, making it incredibly easy for attackers to gain access.
Wait, are you saying that someone could potentially find a water treatment plant's HMI online and just log in with the default username and password?
It's frighteningly easy thanks to search engines like Shodan and Sensis that scan the internet for connected devices. You can literally find these HMIs with a few clicks. And to make matters worse, many of them are running older, unsupported versions of Windows that are riddled with known vulnerabilities.
So even if they're not directly connected to the internet, they might still be vulnerable through other means.
That's right. It's a complex problem with no easy solutions. But recognizing the risks is the first step.
So what's the worst case scenario here? What could happen if an attacker gains control of an HMI?
Well, imagine an attacker taking control of an HMI and causing an overhead water tank to overflow, or tampering with chemical levels at a wastewater treatment plant, leading to contamination. The consequences could be devastating.
That's a truly terrifying thought. It's hard to believe something as essential as clean water could be so vulnerable. Okay, we've covered vulnerable APIs and water treatment plants under attack. Now for our final story, one that hits a little closer to home. This one's about how ransomware can impact your personal data. And it all starts with a consulting firm called Deloitte.
Deloitte is a huge name in the consulting world.
Yeah, they do a lot of work for governments and big corporations.
And they were recently targeted by a ransomware group called BrainCypher. What makes this attack particularly troubling is that it wasn't just Deloitte's data that was compromised.
Oh.
The attackers also got into a system called RyeBridges.
RyeBridges, that rings a bell.
It's a system used by the state of Rhode Island to manage their public benefits program.
Oh, wow. So things like Medicaid, food stamps, all of that.
Exactly. And because Deloitte was maintaining this system for Rhode Island, the attack on Deloitte gave BrainCypher access to all the sensitive personal data of Rhode Island residents.
So how did this happen? How did they pull this off?
It seems BrainCypher gained initial access through a phishing attack, a pretty standard tactic for ransomware groups.
So someone probably clicked a bad link or opened an infected attachment, something like that?
Yes, most likely. And once they were in, they used various techniques to move laterally through the network, essentially hopping from one system to another until they found what they were looking for. In this case, Windows domain admin credentials, which would give them complete control over the entire network.
And with those credentials, they could basically do whatever they wanted.
Right. And what they wanted was to steal as much data as they could. We're talking over 1 terabyte of compressed data.
Wow.
That's an enormous amount of information.
So what kind of data are we talking about here?
We know it includes data from various Rhode Island public benefit programs, including Medicaid, SNAP, the food stamp program, TANF, temporary assistance for needy families, and a whole bunch of others. Basically, anything related to those programs could be in there.
Names, addresses, social security numbers, financial information, all of it.
It's a worst-case scenario. And to add insult to injury, BrainCypher is threatening to leak all of this data online if their ransom demands aren't met.
So what's being done about this? What are people doing to address this?
Deloitte is doing damage control and investigating the breach. Rhode Island has launched their own investigation and set up a data breach hotline for residents to get information and ask questions.
I can't imagine this is going to end well for Deloitte. I'm sure there will be lawsuits.
There already are. Two class action lawsuits have been filed against Deloitte, accusing them of failing to properly protect the sensitive data.
And this isn't even the first time Rhode Island has had cybersecurity issues, is it?
You're right. There was an audit report back in 2023. That highlighted some serious vulnerabilities in their systems. So it seems like they've been aware of these issues, but haven't taken sufficient action to fix them.
This is a cautionary tale on so many levels. It shows how vulnerable our critical infrastructure is, how personal data can be compromised through third-party vendors, and how failing to address cybersecurity issues can have disastrous consequences.
It underscores the interconnected nature of our digital world and how a single point of failure can have ripple effects across entire systems.
So what does this all mean for our listeners? What should they take away from all of this?
It's a stark reminder that cyber attacks are happening faster and becoming more sophisticated. They're targeting not just big companies and governments, but also the systems we rely on for essential services and benefits.
It's a call to action for all of us to be more vigilant about our own cybersecurity and to demand better protection from the organizations we trust with our data.
We need to be proactive, not reactive. We need to stay informed about the latest threats and take steps to protect ourselves both individually and collectively.
That's a great point. We can't just assume someone else is taking care of it. We all have a role to play in creating a safer digital world.
Absolutely.
Well, that was a sobering but important conversation. Thank you for breaking it all down for us.
It was my pleasure. As always, stay vigilant and stay safe out there.
That's all the time we have for today's episode of Cyber Mornings Daily. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you back here tomorrow with more news and insights from the world of cybersecurity.